Hello and welcome to Vontobel Quality Growth's quarterly investment podcast concerning emerging market equities. I am Ben Falcone, client portfolio manager at Vontobel Quality Growth, and I'm joined today by Jin Zhang, our senior research analyst and deputy portfolio manager for Vontobel Quality Growth's emerging market equities. Jin has 19 years of industry experience, 14 of those being at Vontobel. Thank you for joining us today, Jin.
You're welcome.
So look, the conversation today is clearly about emerging market equities. So 2019 has been characterized by globally a slowing down of growth, and it's primarily due to an increasingly difficult trading environment that's putting pressure, you know, both on developed and emerging markets. Two of the pillars of emerging market growth, India and China, have notably started to slow down a little bit. Starting with India, Jin, can you characterize what's going on in the economy and the opportunities that exist from an equity investor perspective?
Sure. India is having an economic slowdown. After the national election in May this year, the economic weakness has been quite visible. Then in the summer, the weakness accelerated significantly, in spite of having a pretty good monsoon this year. The property market and the auto market both had big year-over-year drops lately. And the non-bank financing sector suffered from poor liquidity. If that's the backdrop, this is not the time to despair and give up on India, for two reasons. One, India will come out of this slump sooner or later. You know, in the short run, it's not that vulnerable because it doesn't have a lot of foreign debt. In the long run, the outlook is great. This is an economy with 1.3 billion people, and yet only 20% of the population is saving with a bank account. The mortgage to GDP ratio is only 10%. Half of the level for even Thailand. Can you think of a better banking market for a good bank like HDFC Bank, India's leading private sector bank? So that brings us to the second reason. There are great businesses in that country. Don't get shaken out of them when the noise level gets higher. The economic weakness is real and could even last for a while. But the stock market magnifies that weakness by an excessive amount. That is why we have these wild swings in the market. But guess what? The best way to deal with this is to be patient and hold on to the great businesses you have selected. Sentiment can swing the other way around rather quickly. So just last week, right, late last week, the Indian Finance Ministry announced a big tax cut program, and the market rallied almost 10% in 2 days. So my point is, when investing in India, you have to think about the long run and look through the cycles. With that, we do see opportunities there in owning great businesses, and opportunities belong to the patient investor.
That makes sense. I mentioned earlier, China also is, of course, seeing some pressure on its growth, and it's more directly hindered by the trade war with the U.S. There has been a noticeable slowdown over the past few years in terms of GDP growth. So it's slowing, and you're also seeing debts rising, you know, as well. So how concerned are you by this, you know, in an economy that's the second largest in the world and clearly is a focal point of emerging markets? Do you think there's potential risk for the broader EM space as a whole because of this?
I think you want to be pretty careful and selective in investing in China. That's the best approach to any country, anytime, right? Do I see a debt problem there? Yes. Is it likely to blow up like a typical EM collapse? No. A typical EM collapse is caused by foreign currency debt, which they just don't have much. Instead, what China has is a lot of foreign assets and domestic debt. That tends to be a more chronic issue. You know, one can argue Japan has been in that situation for a few decades. So China, being a younger country in demographics, still has the time, in my view, and hopefully they can grow out of it. So should you invest in China, right? I think there is no need to shy away from the country entirely. It is a large and diversified economy, and as you just said, right, it's the second largest in the world. There are actually structural growth stories there. For example, e-commerce is still growing at 30% a year. E-commerce is reaching tier 3, 4, 5 cities and even rural areas. In places far away from the trade war impact, we're finding growth. And a company like Alibaba, which is a dominant player in e-commerce, they're still growing at around 40% a year. Now, for EM more broadly, I think a patient investor should look past the trade war fog and find long-term beneficiaries of the trade disputes. there is a structural shift in the global supply chain. Several countries are benefiting from this so-called trade redirection. Vietnam is a prominent one, right? But there are more potential beneficiaries from the shift, from Bangladesh to Malaysia to Mexico.
Yeah, so in your opinion, how does that shift, right? How does that open up equity investment opportunities in those areas?
These shifts really produces more middle class, right? And then you want to find opportunities to tap into that demand. To be sure, we are now talking about opportunities from a, I would call a structural rift between the two large countries, right, US and China, rather than, you know, taking advantage of some temporary slowdown. So one region that is sitting well in this structural shift is Southeast Asia. They have sizable domestic markets and decent infrastructure. With the trade war, both China and the US are actually increasing investments into that region. So investment commitment have more than doubled in the first half of 2019 compared with a year ago. We're seeing more low-end manufacturing, you know, like textile going into Vietnam and maybe some electronics. But for medium-level things like semiconductor, Malaysia is a pretty good place to invest in. Then there is Indonesia, a country with a large domestic market and very good potential to expand its manufacturing base. The Japanese auto companies have been investing there for a long time and bringing together their very long supply chain. And we are seeing some acceleration of that lately. So Indonesia is getting very large amounts of foreign direct investments every year, and its GDP growth is quite steady at 5%. In that country, the large banks are very profitable. Bank Central Asia, for example, right, is very well run and trusted. They certainly will benefit from this growing middle class in the country.
This kind of shift, right, provides, I guess, maybe more stability within some of these markets, and it makes it more investable for a quality manager looking for opportunities, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking, if we shift gears now and we go to across the world, and speaking of, you know, volatility, I think most equity investors feel uneasy about investing, particularly in Latin America, where many of the headlines on a day-to-day basis are exacerbated from countries like Venezuela and what's happening in Argentina. Is there real long-term opportunity there from an equity investor perspective?
Yes. Again, you know, for the patient investor, LATAM is actually a pretty fertile ground for deeply entrenched franchises. Many are controlled by families, and those families have been compounding their wealth over decades. So one does have to be very careful about the trajectory of the countries, right? You want to avoid situations like Venezuela or Argentina. But for a country like Brazil, you have businesses like Lojas Renner, a top-performing retailer, and Banco Itaú, the leading bank with 20% ROE. Now, this bank is controlled by three families with deep roots in the Republic. And they have certainly gone through a lot of volatilities, from, you know, change of presidents to hyperinflation and change of currencies. If you owned it in the past two decades, your investment would have gone up 850%, or about 12% per annum in US dollar terms. So my point is, you should find the right institution which can survive and thrive in volatile environments like this and keep invested in them.
And so look, you've mentioned some great opportunities in all different parts of emerging markets, but clearly the world has become more volatile, right? And risks are rising and growth is starting to show some weakness. We now have over $17 trillion in negative yielding debt around the world. So I think some investors, right, question, first of all, do I allocate capital to emerging market equities? Is it a broad allocation or is it more of a market? Some investors tend to move money in and out and try to trade emerging markets. What do you think is the right way to kind of invest within this space?
I think the right way is look at it business by business. There's no point in trying to make market calls, in my opinion. You know, EM should be part of your asset allocation, you know, big or small, depending on your appetite. But one shouldn't try to call the top or bottom of these emerging markets. Like you said, right, there are just a lot of volatilities and a lot of moving parts. So when you think about the $17 trillion debt, right, it is a giant signal that growth is coming down, right, globally. Growth is very hard to come by anywhere in the world. But instead of sitting there and worrying about these issues, I think one should just go out there and talk to companies and ask, you know, how do you find growth? Now, the better businesses will all tell you the secret to success in this environment is actually the same as in the past. Just take care of your customers. Give them innovative products or services. Provide that with lower cost and higher efficiency. Motivate your employees to achieve it. Outcompete. So with that, you know, we'll have growth. So that is how you build your portfolio from the bottom up. It is actually possible to own a collection of very good businesses. Now, these businesses are the engine of your portfolio. That's the source of growth. So a carefully selected set of high-quality businesses is how you deal with this environment. And with that, you should definitely try to practice buy and hold rather than, you know, try to market timing.
That makes sense. So I think, right, in summary, what you're saying is, I think, first of all, right, emerging markets is still a potential spot for investors to continue to invest, right? It still seems to be, you know, intact, if you will. But one can find great long-term opportunities there, but you have to be selective and patient in order to achieve your desired returns, as opposed to trying to trade what has historically been, you know, a short-term volatile type of market. So that concludes our podcast for this quarter. Thank you for listening in to what is now a new format that we will continue to use going forward on a quarterly basis, where we'll express our current views. So thank you, Jin, for joining us this morning, and thank you all for listening in.
Thank you.